Welcome to this week's Leader's Guide for the Fall Quarter of Life Groups. This resource is provided to help you prepare and effectively lead your group. For your convenience, you can also download a written version of this guide under Leader Tools at northcoastchurch.com/groups. So let's join Pastor Dave Enns now as he introduces this week's material.
Greetings, leaders. Welcome to week number 10 of Life Groups. So next week is Thanksgiving, and then you have one more meeting to meet with your group. So we are on the second to the last week of groups. And with that said, is we actually need to start wrapping up this quarter and getting ready for the following quarter. You're like, Dave, we still got another meeting. I know you do. But we feedback forms is something that we always want to offer groups to do. And an email will be sent, if you're listening this before Monday, is going to be sent out to Monday to everybody in a life group. And many of them will do it when they get it, but many others will not. And so that feedback form is really key. It gives people a chance to give you feedback in their group. And then also to give any information of like, hey, are they returning or not? And so we have gone to that online format, and all groups will be getting that except our senior groups. Those will be getting hard copies. But again, that's one of those processes that is very important, in fact, part of a healthy relationship. So we'll get that sent in to us, and then leaders, we'll get the results back to you on that. And again, we have found most of the time, those are just affirming times, but also gives people a chance to say, hey, let's make a little tweak here and do that. I know that's happened with my group. It was like interesting on this topic. Hey, we want to be able to pray more. And I'm like, wow, that was good. Why didn't anybody tell me that? I don't know why they didn't tell me, but they put it on that paper and that feedback form. And that was just so good for me with that. So again, encourage your people to be honest with that and do that. And we will do a reminder on this the last week also. So just a heads up on there, but just again, an important part of that. And you can see details about anything else there in the leader's guide and read through that. On that note, make sure that you're having a discussion with your group and letting them know that your next meeting is your last meeting, and for people to let you know if they're making any changes in your group. As we get ready to wrap this quarter up and launch, we got to know how many openings we have and any other potential leaders and hosts to help launch our new groups. Again, we always want to make room for people to be able to connect and to grow, and so please be letting us know about that when you do your attendance this next week. And then also, if you could be praying for our groups as you wrap up our time, if you could make part of praying for, hey, new leaders and hosts to step up, we appreciate that. Obviously, that sets vision with your people, and you're like, Dave, I don't want people to leave my group. And no, you don't, unless God's calling them to. And so again, we don't want to hide any calling from God in the midst of that. So that helps us out there. Again, look in your leader's guide for the dates of when next quarter is going to start up and all that goes there. But again, just a quick note on all that. All right, leaders, we're going to go ahead and dive into this week's Homework Helps. And we continue on in our Mark series. And just another fabulous message as we get week in and week out here as we dive into God's word from our teachers. And specifically, this whole thing on desperate prayers and, well, not my will, but your will, God, be done. And just great things from Larry on that about what that looks like and how to put that into practice. And so a quick note before we dive into this, and we're going to really kind of dive in and help people look at, are we really praying and being open and honest? And you'll see that theme coming through really strong in the questions this week. But a quick note about prayer. Is we oftentimes think, when we think about prayer, is we think of this silent time focused and long, long prayer. And sometimes we need to do that because prayer is like a relationship. But what I want people to hear is not that that is just what prayer is, because communication in a relationship takes on all kinds of forms. And some of it is small talk, and small talk is vitally important. It's that, hey, hello, when you come in the room. It's the how are you doing. Those are the quick little things and interactions, and some are fun stories and all that goes with that in life. That's how relationships work. And at times, they're long stories, or at times, we got to really focus and work through an issue, whether that's with our spouse or friends or whoever it is. But that's how relationships work. And so prayer is not this, I'm now going to set aside a half an hour every day to talk to God. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's fantastic. But it's more than that. And in some ways, it's less than that. In other words, that's not the goal. The goal is, do you have those times? How does it look like over time as you're walking, as you communicate and pray with God? Just as the same is true in your relationships. The small talk is fine, but eventually we want to go beyond that. How do you share your joys, your hurts, and all that goes with that? So just kind of a theme there as people are kind of thinking through and what prayer is and how that works. Okay, well, let's go ahead and start on the homework this week. And again, we start with the quick review question. And again, you may start there and spend your whole time there with your group, and that is just fine. Again, you don't want to do that every week, because then people aren't going to answer the questions or dive in. And again, we think there's great value with that. But so go ahead and check that question out. Then we've got two questions in my story. And the first one is, Jesus had some bold words to say to God about having to die to save others. Do you agree or disagree with the statement that most people are afraid to be as honest with God as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? In other words, Jesus says, not my will, God. I don't want to do it my way. This is what's going on. Take this from me, God. There is a demand there. Now, again, he balances out, but not my will, but yours. But there's that honest thing. So the question is, agree, disagree, is that true? And again, you're going to have a variety of answers. But then if people say, hey, people are afraid to be that honest, then the next question is that you can add there is, why is that? Why are we afraid to be honest? Is it because, again, it might be, hey, how God is going to deal with me? I don't think about that. And then we kind of transition into the question I would ask is how honest are you with other people? And again, the question, sub-question there is, how much of our honesty with God has to do with our personality or life experience? In other words, are you as honest with people as you are with God? Or are you more honest with God than you are with people? And to have some questions about that can be really interesting. In fact, we've got a little, some other questions that will help create discussion there. It says, using the options below, how would you say your prayer life is similar or different from the way you communicate with those you're closest to? Now, people can just say, okay, here what it is, and skip these examples. Or you can use them. So is your prayer life more or less detailed with God or with others? More or less real or vulnerable with God or others? More or less time? Do you spend more time speaking to others or with God? Most of us would probably say others, but guess what? Some people may say they talk to God a lot. Well, okay, why is that? What's that about? More or less focused? More or less emotion? More or less frequent? More or less connection? Anyway, whatever is, how is it same? So the goal here isn't for everybody to answer all those questions, but to get this vibe and a sense of like, hey, how does it work out in real life? How does that relate to our relationships and how we relate to God in that? So for example, if you're more open with your friends than with God, why is that? Or if you're more open with God than your friends, what's that about? Is it that you don't trust your friends? Are they not trustworthy? You don't trust God, afraid of God, whatever. So again, you kind of go through and ask, well, what's driving that? And I think that can be a real interesting discussion. Now, question two is one that really sets up this whole prayer thing. Is prayer is important just like communication is in any relationship? In what circumstances is it easiest for you to pray? When is it the hardest for you? What are some of your challenges and frustrations when it comes to regular praying to our God? Now, if one of the questions, if you go above and say, hey, are you able to be honest with God? People say, well, why aren't you honest with God? And their answer is, well, I don't really take the time or pray. And so they're not building that relationship. They're not engaging in it. So this would be a great question to have everybody answer and begin to think through that. Now, again, if we go back to how we start our quarter with groups, is we never force everybody to pray in our group. So that might become the issue. In fact, we put those normal questions that we ask if you want to dialogue on that with your group, if you haven't talked about that in a while. Now, again, skip that. If you've had that discussion, you don't need to go there. But again, that just sets you up because we're focusing on this whole prayer issue and being real about how it relates to our relationship with God and to deal with those major difficulties in life. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into digging deeper. And again, decide which one you want to make sure you focus on. There's just two questions here, but there is quite a bit to dig into. Okay, question one. Larry talked about how it's okay to be honest and clear with God when we're struggling with His will for our lives. The Psalms are full of examples of David voicing his honest complaints to God over what was happening in his life. What can you learn from the following passages about what being honest with God looks like? So you've got Psalms 13, 1 through 6, and Psalms 142, 1 through 7. Again, great passages there. You see David being, wow, God's abandoned me. Where is He? What's going on? And you see in chapter 13, there's this idea of God is, where are you? And then yet he also praises God in the midst of that. And again, and then in Psalms 142, you've got similar things. So find out what people's observations are that, and then you can dive into these questions. And here's the first sub question. Do you think there's a difference between being honest and complaining? Now, this is thin slicing, and as people go, oh, they're looking for a certain answer. Here's the deal. I don't think there's a lot of difference between those two. I mean, there can be. You can be honest about something and not complaining. You can be complaining and you're being honest, or you're not. But in the sense of, there's just, the point is sometimes we can say, well, I'm just being honest. And so they're not complaining because they're being honest. Well, complaining can be honest. Is complaining wrong? Well, no, not necessarily. Was Jesus complaining? And some people would say, no, yes. I'm like, I don't know how you decide that. Some will go, oh, no, he's just being honest about his difficulty. Well, the definition, one of the definitions of complaint is that, being honest about the difficulty that you're in. So what's the scoop here? What's the point? The point is to get some discussion to look through this. But complaining, when it becomes, I guess the question is, when does complaining become a problem? It's when it takes over. It's all you're doing. In fact, you can you see throughout Scripture, it talks about not getting caught into complaining, and our mind can go the wrong direction, but we still need to be honest. Well, Dave, you mean you're not to complain? I'm like, again, I don't know when you cross the line, but if you're stuck in complaining, there's a problem. In fact, a couple passages you could look to dive into this would be Philippians 2, 12 through 16, and then Proverbs 17 through 22. Great passage of Scripture to open up and to talk about that. But now let me ask you this, and it's a sub-question written there, is what could be a downside to never hearing someone complain or be honest about disappointment? Is that a trap? I think you could also ask the question, it says, do you find yourself being a complainer or willing to admit difficulty, or a more of an optimist on this other side? And again, we want to be real. There's an authenticity that we need to have. I know if I never hear someone give an evaluative comment, I'm wondering if they're being real about life. Now, there are those that can give evaluative comments in a positive way, and that is legit, and that's smart to do in life. To be able to communicate in an effective way is key. So again, I think you can get plenty of time in that question there. The next sub question is, how can we honestly complain to God without it becoming a lack of trust? Well, obviously, when we start disobeying because of that, that is key to that. And that disobedience could be inaction and not just action against, but actually not moving forward. It's like, hey, wait a minute. You're not moving forward on how to deal with that. You're complaining about it, but there's some obvious stuff that you need to move towards and work through. If you go back up to Psalms 13, and if you spent time on that, again, it's a great passage because there David is going, wait a minute, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face? And he's just, it's like, where are you, God, in the midst of this? And then he closes, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praises. There in that prayer, you can see that David is still trusting in God's goodness. Now, if I pray the first half of that psalm in life, in the sense of how I'm going before God, and I don't pray that second half, does that mean I'm not trusting God. Well, not necessarily, but that's a sign of that. So a question there that you can ask is, hey, how does that play out in your life when you are going before your God, our God, and have this issue? What, how do you balance that out? How do you work that out? Or do you do that? And again, that ties back in with what we were looking at in Philippians 2:12 and then that Proverbs 17:22 passage. For myself, I have found, God, I thank you that you're at work. So that's keeping me focused on that God is in control. And that's the part where we as followers of Jesus can be the total optimist. And not that we're optimists, oh, God's just going to work this out. That's not how it works. I got a friend that's not going to happen. She's headed in the other direction and going through some great difficulty. And now she's praising God and living for God every day, but it's difficult. It's sad. And so it's not taken in a trite way. In fact, we mourn together, pray together, cry together, and laugh in the midst, because there's that hope. And we're still praying for the miracle in the midst of that. And God, because God's goodness, so it gives the hope that hope in the midst of that, because we will be eternity with our God. So again, key piece there in that balance, and David's showing us that in the Psalms. And then the last sub question in this question is, has your willingness to be honest with God changed over the years? And if so, what do you think has caused that change? A great question to ask, have everybody answer in your group. You might want to use that as your taking it home question if you're not going to close and hit on number two. And there is, again, some, I think, some good stuff to way to bring it home as we're looking at our prayer life. And I know of myself, this week's message has even challenged myself on that. Of what does prayer look like? How regular am I involved in that? Okay, digging deeper, number two. We heard this weekend about the importance of being persistent in prayer. In Samuel 2:12-23, King David is praying this kind of prayer as he seeks God's intervention on a critical issue. As you read this story, answer the questions below. So here's David. He is committed to fasting and to prayer and praying that his son will be saved. And there he goes. He goes through it, and his son is not. So first question is, have you ever set aside extra time to dedicate yourself to prayer concerning a specific issue or concern? If so, explain. Now, what I'm not talking about, it doesn't have to be about fasting here like David. And it's not like, hey, let's pray about this one time, but it's over and over again. Obviously, everybody is not going to have an answer to this. So this is, hey, has anybody ever done that? And that's going to set up our key questions here of where we're headed, which comes to this next question. In light of the challenges we face and our belief that prayer works, what are some obstacles to setting aside extra periods of time to repeatedly pray over an issue? Here's my question. Really, the question is if prayer is so powerful, why don't we ever do this? What are the reasons behind that? And then, so what are some of those obstacles to happiness? So take your with your group and brainstorm. What are the reasons? Why don't we? If we really believe prayer to be true, why don't we do that? Does that mean we don't believe it makes a difference? And is it time? Is it what are those things there? Then third sub question is, after repeatedly seeking God on an issue, have you ever experienced a response similar to David's? If so, explain. And that's that whole when he's suddenly at calm, at peace. God said no, and that's like, you're okay with that. What's your group's experience? Again, everybody's not going to have an answer to that, but it'd be a key question to find out what people think. And then finally, the sub question here, next question is, based on what we've learned about the importance of persistence in our prayers, is there anything you might be giving up on a bit too early, need to focus on more, anything you need to let go of? So in other words, hey, do I need to be more persistent on something? Well, do I need to begin to get persistent, or do I need to let it go as David did? Obviously, you can use that in your taking it home section and make that your closing time, and you know, either separating men and women if you need to, again, or just smaller groups, you could do that. Hey, what do you need to persist on? What do you need to focus on there? And now we've got the taking it home, and there's another question there beyond the normal question that we oftentimes ask, and let me read that to you. We all have different aptitudes and abilities when it comes to where, when, and how much we pray, right? I mean, some of us are just better prayers, or we pray more than others. So this is not, just as in relationships, some of us are more vocal, introspective, all of those things that go with it. Yet we know ongoing communication and connection is vital to any healthy relationship, including with God. One reason we may find it difficult to pray with extra persistence is that we haven't created places and habits that help us pray and connect with God on an ongoing basis. Here are a few practical suggestions how to develop your prayer life. So it has schedule it, get away on occasion, pray aloud to help you focus, listen as well as talk, and use scripture as your guide. So there is a couple different examples of, hey, wait a minute, I you know, you can say, well, I need to pray more, but so I'm gonna actually sleep more because I'm gonna go off by myself and I'm going to try to focus on God and read my Bible, and I'm going to fall asleep. So again, so here's a guideline or way to begin to help you do that. So the sub question is, which, if any of these, do you already tend to do? Are there any other ideas or suggestions you found to be helpful when it comes to prayer and persistence? And then the other question I want to add to that, is there one you want to try to put into action? Is there something you want to do different so you become a more, not just persistently praying over something, which again may be the point, but begin to regularly communicate with God in a way that deepens your relationship and what it means to depend on Him, listen to Him, and communicate with Him. So key question there. Now we've got prayer requests there at the end, and again, you might want to do something different with your prayer requests. And one is, a lot of times we spend most of our time sharing our prayer requests and actually not praying. And I think in some ways God actually hears that in the midst of that. But I think there's still that key piece for focusing and talking with God together with your community, with your friends, is key. And so you may want to this week go, hey, we're not going to share, we're just going to talk, but we're going to pray, sharing our prayer requests with one another. So maybe trying that and just see how that goes. And again, helping you communicate with God. Well, leaders, I hope this is another encouragement to your people to grow in what it means to communicate and connect with God. And I want to thank you again for leading your groups, taking them through this. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to connecting with you right after that as we wrap up our groups for this quarter. Have a great next meeting.